Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Ravencast. My name is Adam Erickson, and I am here with the one and only Lindsay Paris Lopez. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Did you know that you are the one and only Lindsay Paris Lopez?
I believe so. That's not a name you find too often. Maybe other Lindsays, other Lindsay Parises, other Lindsay Lopezes, but...
You are the one and only Lindsay Paris Lopez, and that's fantastic. It's awesome. And Lindsay invited us to talk today about two topics that rarely get put together. One is apocalypse and the other is Thanksgiving. Yeah. Which is fantastic. I love putting these together. Nicely done, Lindsay. Here's why I love putting it together, because I am a lectionary preacher. And one of the lectionary texts for this coming Sunday that I have to preach on is what's called the Little Apocalypse in the Gospel of Mark.
Yeah.
So you are getting me prepared for preaching this. And another brilliant move, Lindsay Paris Lopez, is that Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yes.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, trying to... kill two turkeys with one stone. Yeah, exactly. I actually think that apocalypse and Thanksgiving go together a lot better than most people would think at first glance.
So I think so too. Yeah. Let's talk about how they do that.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Awesome. Well, I've done some research on apocalypse, and usually when people think of apocalypse, it's like left behind stuff, like God is coming in God's wrath because God's angry and lightning bolts and all this stuff, and God's behind all the violence. And is that the typical understanding of apocalypse? End of the world destruction?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I was never big into end times rapture theology, but then I wrote a thesis on it, so I should know something about this. Oh. And I wrote a thesis on it because I was in Jordan learning Arabic at the time that Israel bombed Lebanon right next door. Not the only time that that's happened, but I was there in 2006 when it happened. And I was just heartbroken and kind of afraid. And when I looked to see what people back home were saying about it, I was disappointed, one, that most people weren't talking about it at all. And I mean, it's still going on today with the violence all over the world that's not right here. And I was also appalled by what I saw of people who identified themselves as Christians celebrating the violence. And, I don't mind talking about Israel and that part of the end time scenario, but that's not what we want to do today. But, you know, I did study some of the rapture, some of the, what people think of the violence at the end of days and where it all comes from when I did that thesis. And, not from God, but a lot of people think it is.
Yeah, I remember growing up and seeing videos of Pastor John Hagee talking about the end times, and he'd have all these charts, and I would watch it and I would just freak out because it was so scary. And then you get all of these like dates that are supposed to be like the date for the end of the world, and they just keep coming.
It was
year after year.
It was Hagee who was celebrating the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was taking place close to where I was. And I was frightened, but I learned that I didn't have to be frightened for myself, but I was frightened by the state of the world and just how we could allow all that violence to happen. And part of it happens because Christians cheer it on. Yeah. And that, I mean, there's, I can't think of anything more heartbreaking than cheering on the death and destruction.
Christians cheer it on and they see God. Many Christians cheer it on and they see God behind the violence that's happening. And you can get to that in some apocalyptic texts in the Bible. And I wanted to bring one of those up, but here's what is so important. And if people want to know more about this, they can read Raising Abel by James Allison. This is like the text that you should read about apocalyptic literature, in my opinion. But here's one of the really interesting things that's happening in the Bible. You get this idea that God is behind some of the violence that's happening, but then you get to other passages, especially in Jesus, where he secularizes that violence. So there is, so God shows up nowhere in Mark's apocalypse, unless you want to say Jesus is God. But Jesus doesn't say God is behind all of this violence. When Jesus brings it up, it's all human. It's our responsibility, not God's. But I want to contrast two different Bible readings. So the first one is from Zechariah, and this may freak you out. So don't read this right before you go to bed at night. Okay. So here it is. Zechariah chapter 14 says, "See, a day is coming for the Lord when the plunder taken from you will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses looted, and the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against the nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west." And it goes on. So here, apocalyptic literature tends to have a violent warrior god behind it. And the warrior god tends to be, as our friend Michael Harden might say, two-faced. So on one moment, this god is against Jerusalem and brings all the armies of the nations against Jerusalem. And at the other moment, a little later, oh, now God is going to fight on Jerusalem's side. So this is a god that you never really know if this god is on your side or not on your side. And you see this in a lot of ancient apocalyptic literature where there's the divine warrior god who's coming. Now, contrast Zechariah. That was kind of a freaky passage, wasn't it? Like, yeah, that was kind of scary. So contrast that with Mark chapter 13, which is coming up this Sunday. And I won't read it, but I'll just summarize it. Mark chapter 13 has Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives. So in Zechariah, you may remember God is standing on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Well, here Jesus is also on the Mount of Olives. So there's a clear reference here to Zechariah. And so you might expect if the gospel writer or Jesus is going to follow Zechariah, that there's going to be some divine violence in there. But what Jesus ends up saying in this little apocalypse is that nations will rise against nations. There will be famines and earthquakes and all of these natural disasters. They're going to happen. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars, but don't, your job is to not get alarmed by them. Jesus is saying you can expect this to happen. And where is God in all of it? Jesus doesn't say, right? He secularizes all of this apocalyptic stuff. So God is outside of it. God's not behind it, making it happen. And Jesus says that all of this is the birth pangs of something being born into the world, a new way of life. And your mission in this apocalyptic moment is to keep to the message of Jesus, to not get caught up in the violence that's happening, but to spread the gospel of love into it.
Right. And he specifically says, do not be fooled or led astray by people who will try to speak in my name. So he specifically warns us against following the message of end time pastors who want to interpret this as God's will for the nations. And I'll say real quickly, I'm not saying this to scapegoat the end time pastors. I judge their judgment, not them, you know, because God loves them. God loves all of us. Yeah. God loves all of us, but Jesus specifically says, do not put any theological value into someone who tries to say that this is the will of God when these things happen. Jesus understands that there will be violence, and history has proven Jesus correct on that count, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, there will be violence, but it does not have to do with God. So,
the violence is human. And one of the reasons that we can give thanks for that is that Jesus is inviting us to take responsibility for it. So when you start going down the apocalyptic route and saying, oh, God is, this is all God's will, this is all God's doing, it means that we don't have to take responsibility for it. We can just project all of that violence on God. Jesus is saying, no, this is human and you need to take responsibility for it. So there's hope in that. Don't project our violence onto God, take responsibility for it, which means that we can live a new pattern, live in a new way. That option is before us. And Jesus gives us that option in radical love and forgiveness.
Right. Well, projecting it onto God does more than let us off the hook. For some, you know, for some, projecting the violence onto God and being unaware of doing so, you know, really believing that this is God's will, you know, puts you in the position to want to wage war against the infidels, against the people you think God hates, against the people you think God has condemned. But, I mean, guess what? When Jesus came, that was God showing us that God does not condemn. That was God showing us that God forgives even the people murdering God, which is to say God forgives the very worst of humanity. And it's to say, you know, God is with the people who are the victims of the violence. And God forgives the people who do the violence. That means God is with us as victims, and God is with us in the sense of not solidarity with our sin, but forgiving us and helping us through it as we are victimizers. God does not separate God's self from us, whether we are the victims or even when we're the perpetrators of oppression. And that is not to say that God blesses our oppression, but that God's presence is there to lead us out of that.
Amen. And it's also, we're in apocalyptic moments because we've got nuclear weapons, so that's one. We've also got global climate change, which is our responsibility that a lot of people are also denying, but that's our responsibility. We created it, much of it, and we're responsible for it and changing it. And it's led to a lot of wildfires in California, and so people are saying, I've seen some people on Facebook saying that this is God's wrath on Northern California for allowing people to smoke weed or something. So it's like, we got to stop talking about God in this way, because that's not how Jesus reveals God. So, and it also, when you start talking about God punishing people like this, it means that you don't have to have any sympathy or empathy or help in any way, because that would be going against the will of God. So that's BS theology. Just want to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, God's role in these fires, in these natural disasters, in the famines, in the droughts, God's role is to be with the suffering. God's role is to, you know, wrap the suffering people in love. And God's role is to teach us to do the same thing, to model that for us, so that if we have the ability, you know, we follow in the way of God to help the people who need help. And I mean, many people we know are the people who need help right now. So God's will is for us to help them, and someday we may be the people who need that help ourselves. And I mean, many people, maybe some watching this are those people, but Adam, you and I are comfortable in our own homes, and we might not always be. We might have to evacuate one day. We might have to, you know, we might have to flee climate change or violence, or as far as climate change goes, I foresee more natural disasters, you know. Mm-hmm. Who knows where they will strike. But I also foresee, you know, shrinking of the coasts and condensing the people. And I foresee migration. And when that happens, we cannot build walls, and we cannot, you know. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, I've heard people on the right say, Democrats want open borders, and people on the left say, no, we don't want open borders. Borders aren't going to matter when humanity is at a point where we need to come together as a species to survive. And I think we're already there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think about that a lot. And I think maybe the hope in these disasters is that we are seeing some people, hopefully many people, you know, give of themselves when they see their fellow human beings in need. And I just know, I'm not speculating. I know that this is going to happen on a larger scale very soon. And we all have to be prepared to help one another, no matter who we are.
So I mean
the hope that I see from this is people are learning to help each other, and we're going to have to do a lot more of that. So,
and learning to help one another is something that we can be thankful for. So
yeah.
Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you, everybody, for watching. You can catch more of the Ravencast in the next few weeks. I think we're taking next week off, because is next week Thanksgiving?
It is.
Next week is Thanksgiving.
A week from today. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We will not have a Ravencast on Thanksgiving.
We'll be celebrating with our families and friends who we are so thankful for,
we hope that everybody watching has a happy Thanksgiving, and stay tuned for Ravencasts after Thanksgiving by liking the Raven Foundation Facebook page. Until next time, peace be with you.